Good morning. How good, Giving Sunday. Hey, I know there's a few fresh faces, so if we haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Nick, I'm the senior pastor here. I'm going to throw to Pastor Liam in just a minute. He's going to kind of do the first part of this morning, and then I'm going to jump in on the back end. But I just wanted to cover a few logistical things for us. We're obviously in the midst of 40 days of prayer. I think we've technically tipped over past the halfway point. And so as always, you can grab the prayer card off the connection point desk. Otherwise, they're all available online as well. But this week, we're praying that God would establish us as a people who are effective in our outreach. And I think that's timely coming into this Christmas season. You'll notice there's a few changes kind of happening across the room this week and over the course of the next couple of weeks. We know that we get some increased foot traffic over the Christmas season. We host a great Christmas Eve event out in the car park and do some carols in here as well. And we just want to make a few updates to the room to make it feel a bit more homely and a bit more inviting as we know we see some people from the community coming in. And so keep an eye out for those. And we also have fortnightly prayer this week. And so we're meeting at Toowoomba Northside Baptist. Jump into the newsletter if you want the details on that. But we'll be gathering this fortnight to pray and really specifically praying for everything that's happening across the life of the community when it comes to effective outreach and what we're able to do and lean into this Christmas season. And on that, the Joy Initiative bin, as I touched on last week, is open. So are the community nominations. And so we've had a few come in already. So I think we've tipped over internally where we will be able to support 25 families this year, which is our goal, which is amazing. And so obviously, if you still want to jump in on that, we'd love to do more than 25. That was just the goal. And that's just a result of the generosity across this room. And so that's something worth celebrating. And we've posted in a couple of the community groups on Facebook and have had some nominations come in of families that are definitely in need of support. And so we're just going to kind of manage that admin load as it happens. You'll start getting some emails from Jandy over the course of the next week and a little bit, kind of giving you your family to be able to go and buy some gifts for, and then the hamper collection is open as well. And so you do not need to buy the specific food for the hamper for the family that you've been given. We're just going to do a general collection for that, pull everything together on our packing and wrapping day, and then if there's any shortfalls, we're just going to run out to Coles and fill in the baskets on that front. And so once you get an email from Jandy, all the info will be in there. But exciting times. We've got our three families so far that we're absolutely going to support, and they're very thankful already from what we can gather. And so this morning, Giving Sunday, Liam's going to unpack it a little bit more. This is actually my first Giving Sunday. He preached this time last year in the lieu of a senior pastor, and I'm going to jump up off the back of him, like I said. But this is historically a really powerful Sunday in the life of the history of the church, from what I can understand and gather, as we look towards the next year that's to come. There's obviously great ministry that's been happening across the course of the year, and we're so thankful that this time last year, which I know Liam's going to get to, the financial situation of this community was foundationally different to what it is this morning, and we have the margin to lean into things that we didn't this time last year, and that's just a result of partnership and a result of what we've all played a part in this year across the community, and that opportunity is before us again. And so Liam's going to share a little bit of the heart behind Giving Sunday, why we gather in this space, why we look towards ministry that's to come, and then I'm going to jump off the back of that and share some of the initiatives that we all have the opportunity to partner in. And so Liam's going to jump up, I'm going to pray for him, and then we'll crack in. Yeah, would you pray with me? God, we recognize that you are indeed in our midst this morning. God, we thank you that we've had the opportunity to worship you through song, have the opportunity to worship you through serving one another this morning. And so as we shift our attention and reposture ourselves now, as we open your word, God, thank you for the faithfulness of this community, and thank you for your faithfulness to this community. God, for what it means for us to be able to partner with one another in giving. And so as Liam shares and opens your word to us and with us, God, you speak powerfully, as we know you always do. Would you meet us where we're at and shape us and form us this morning as followers of Jesus who are generous in our giving and who recognize the opportunity that is before us. And so we thank you for Liam. Thank you for what's on his life. God, thank you for what he's prepared. And we pray that your word would not return void this morning. Amen.
Thanks, Pastor Nick. Good morning, church. How are we this morning? Good, good, that's good. Hey, I love Giving Sunday. I love Giving Sunday, not just because I'm a pastor here, but because I love it. Even growing up in this church, when we would come around a time of committing to our pledges for the following year, I remember even as a 13-year-old feeling super excited for what the Lord might do in us as a community as we pledge to some outreach initiatives for the following year. I remember just feeling so excited. So it's an honor for me to preach this morning. And like Pastor Nick said, I actually preached Giving Sunday last year. Pastor Nick hadn't even started at church yet. And so it was a very different time in the life of this church. It was just a very different stage for our church entirely. Our finances were not where they were at today. And so for me, there was a bit of a pressure on that message, if I'm honest with you. And so last year, my message centered on why we should give. Why we should give to the ministry of the local church. And if I'm honest, our finances weren't looking too flash, they weren't looking too hot. And the end of last year, I sat down with one of our then board members, and we were going through our budget for this year, for 2024, and we were looking at trying to cut down our ministry expenses because we just weren't able to do the things that we previously would have liked to have done. But praise God, like this year, our giving has come in almost $37,000 over what we expected. Like, that's amazing, yeah. Praise God, like seriously, God is so faithful. And so I was shaking in my boots last year, but this year, like, God is faithful. God is so faithful to us, and He'll continue to be faithful to us as well. And so my message this morning will focus on a little bit something different. Instead of focusing on why we should give, I want to encourage us and remind us, just because giving is good and it's good where it's at, it doesn't mean that we should pull back on our giving. So I actually think God's faithfulness to us as a community through our finance, it's actually not an excuse to pull back, but rather it's a reason to be exceedingly generous moving forward. And so this morning, I want to just invite us into the future about where God is leading us, how He wants us to financially partner together in the mission of the local church, seeing the kingdom of God come to Woomba. Amen? So I actually think giving is a discipleship issue as well as a partnership issue. So giving is a discipleship issue and a partnership issue. And I think it's a discipleship issue because when we become followers of Jesus, when we surrender our lives to Him, all of our lives belong to Him. And that includes our finance. And so in that way, giving is actually a discipleship issue. God has given us finance. He's entrusted it to us. And He expects us to surrender it to Him. And giving's also a partnership issue because it invites us as the people of God, the church, to partner together financially. And, you know, it may sound really cliche, but I actually think we're better together. I know it's a super cliche thing to say, but it's actually true. We are actually better together. We can do more together for the kingdom of God than we can do separately. You know, Pastor Nick and I will talk about this a little later, but when we partner together financially, it means that we all get a part to play in the ministry of the church. Like, for example, you may not be able to come to youth on a Friday night, but because of your generosity to our church, you are a part of youth on a Friday night. You're a part of seeing young people come to follow Jesus. And by the way, on Friday night, we had Encounter Night. Thank you to the YWAM crew sitting over here for leading us in worship. Can we just honor them this morning as well? They led us in worship. And in my Connect group, it's a junior boy Connect group, we were praying. And one of these boys who is from a non-church background, he has never been to church before. His mum found our youth group on Facebook. He came along at the start of the year in term one, week one, and has been coming ever since. This kid never prays. He never prays. And so in our Connect group, I was just waiting and seeing if he was going to pray. And he prayed and he gave his life to the Lord. Like, isn't that so cool? Like, he has become a Christian. And like, if you financially partner here as a church, you got a part in that. You had a part to play in that. And seeing this kid who's never been to church before become a Christian. Like, it's just such a cool thing to be part of. And so that's why I get excited. That's why I'm excited about Giving Sunday this morning. I was talking to someone a while ago who didn't grow up in church, hasn't been around the local church, and he knows I'm a pastor. And he was like querying as to how I get paid. And so he had assumed that maybe the government pays for my wage, or maybe Queensland Baptists, our movement that we're a part of, pays for my wage. And when I told him that actually it's the faithful giving of the people who go to our church who pay me, he was floored. He was completely floored. And then I was speaking to a non-church kid at youth group the other day, and he was like querying, like, how do we hire the hall for Centenary for youth? And I told him, oh, it's families at church who pay for it. And he was like, really? Like, he was absolutely floored that people who don't even know the youth kids would pay for that stuff to happen, you know? And I think if you've grown up in church or you've been around the local church for a while, I think that that special quality of the local church can become, we get used to it. It's actually amazing when you think about it that a bunch of people from all different backgrounds, all different ethnicities would gather together and contribute to the mission of God on the earth. It's actually profound. And so I don't want us to take the opportunity for granted this morning and the privilege that it is to be better together in our financial partnership. So this morning I would encourage us not to just grow tired or complacent in our giving when things are going well. And I think the antidote to complacency in our generosity is remembering these four things. We need to remember that God has entrusted full ownership of me and everything entrusted to me. We need to remember that the first fruits of every wage and gift that we receive belong exclusively and wholly to the Lord. We need to remember that it's a blessing to be able to give generous free will offerings. And it's actually a privilege to be able to lay up heavenly treasures for Christ's glory and the eternal good of others and myself. So these are the four antidotes to complacency in our generosity. And so the first thing we need to remember, if we're to fight this complacency in our giving, is acknowledging that God has has rightful and full ownership of us and everything that he has entrusted to us. Deuteronomy 10 says, "Look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything in it all belong to the Lord your God." And Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him." You see, the Bible is clear. God created all things, and through him all things are created, and he has full and rightful ownership of everything in the world, including us and our finance. Yet God in his grace has entrusted us to manage or steward his creation here on the earth. You know, right back in the story of Genesis, in the creation story, we see that once God created Adam, he tasked him and his offspring to be the managers or stewards of the creation of the world. And the Psalms, they echo this sentiment that God has given humanity the responsibility to manage his creation. Psalm 115 says that heavens belong to the Lord, but he has given the earth to all humanity. And so while God owns everything in the heavens and on the earth, he's given us the great responsibility to manage his creation here on earth. So we need to recognize that God has full ownership of me and everything that I have, yet he's entrusted me with this life I live, with the stuff I have, and he has blessed me with, and this includes our finance. You know, I don't know if you recognize this, but your job, your income, or your pension, it all comes from God. And you might say, well, I studied for that qualification to get that job. I applied for the job. I got the interview and I was successful. You could say all of that, and I'd say, yeah, that's true. But who gave you the brains? Who created you? Who gave you breath in your lungs? Who woke you up in the morning to send you to work, to provide for your family or those around you? We need to recognize that God did that for us. God did. And so I think the right response to a God who owns everything is to honor him with what we have been entrusted, including our finance. You know, we need to remember that God has rightful and full ownership of us and everything that he entrusts to us. And I believe remembering and acknowledging this will lead us not to be complacent in our giving. You know, it's all good and well to say this. It's all good and well to pay lip service to this and know the theological implications. But do we actually live like this? Do we actually live like God has full ownership of our lives? Do we actually let him have say over our finance? Do we actually live like this? And I think the second thing we need to remember, if we are to fight complacency in our giving, is acknowledging that the first fruits of every wage or gift that we receive belong exclusively and wholly to the Lord. And so this is the concept of the first fruits or the tithe, which is first introduced in the Old Testament law in Leviticus, where Moses, the Lord tells Moses, how much offering the people are to sacrifice to God. And so Leviticus 27 says, 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. And so while we as New Testament, New Covenant Christians, we aren't bound by the law like the Jewish people were in the Old Testament, I think the tithe provides us with a good principle for how we should give financially and contribute to the ministry of the local church. And let me just say that we're not bound by this 10%. We're not bound by 10%, but I think the encouragement and the principle from the first fruits idea is still important. You know, the concept of the first fruits tells us, as 21st century Christians, that our regular giving to the ministry of the local church should be done systematically, proportionally, and remembering that we're giving and we're not trading. But what do I mean by this? I think, firstly, we need to remember to give systematically. And I think it's important to remember to give every time you get paid or every time on a certain day, perhaps. I think we need to give systematically. You know, I think it's important not to give randomly because we'll most likely forget. We live busy lives, and so I think it's important to give systematically. Before I was married to Phoebe, when I would get paid, I'd give a percentage of my income to the ministry of the local church and then do whatever else with that rest of my income for that fortnight. And so that was my habit, my rhythm. I would first give a percentage to the church and then the rest I would do whatever else I wanted with. And this was a really small way of me saying to God, here, have the first fruits of my income and thank you so much for blessing me with the rest of it. You know, it's just a small habit of being intentional with our finance. And I think that's what the tithe reminds us of, to be intentional with our giving. You know, randomly giving to the ministry of the local church, I would argue, is not a biblical habit. I think a biblical habit is actually doing it systematically. We need to remember that everything is the Lord's, including our finance. And so we need to be intentional with the way we manage the finance that he has given us. And the second encouragement, I think, from the first fruit principle is that we should be giving an allocated percentage of our income. And some people may stick with 10%, but like I said, we're not exclusively bound by this as followers of Jesus. But the encouragement would still be to stick with a percentage of your income. You know, you might start with 5%. You might start with 5% of your income. And then next year, you might increase that to 6%. But the encouragement is to stick with a percentage of your income. And so wherever you lie on the theological perspective with respect to the tithe, I think the biblical principle would be to give proportionally and not just a random amount. You know, I would argue that giving a random amount is not intentionally managing the finance that God has entrusted us. So pick a percentage of your income, stick with it for like a year and see how you go. And then my encouragement would be to you, increase that the following year. But all of this needs to be encapsulated with the attitude of giving and not trading. You know, we don't give to God or the ministry of the local church to get something from God. Rather, we give to him as a response to what he has done for us in Jesus. He has been so generous to us. And so we want to honor God, honor him with our finance, because he has been so generous to us first. And so if we're to fight complacency in our giving, we need to acknowledge that the first fruits of every wage and gift that we receive belong exclusively and wholly to God. I think the third antidote to complacency is remembering that it's actually a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to give generous free will offerings. And this aspect is really speaking to our one-off giving that we do here at Outlook. And so over and above our regular giving, we commit to make an additional one-off giving that goes towards specific initiatives for the following year. And Pastor Nick will speak to this a little later. But this practice is based on Jesus' teaching, which we find in Matthew 6, where he teaches on money and possessions. But I really want to draw our attention to Matthew 6, verse 21, where Jesus says this. He says, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And as I was thinking about this passage, I think Jesus is talking about value here. He's talking about value. So whatever you value being, or whatever you value doing, that is where you will invest, right? I'll give you an example. Phoebe and I started playing netball like maybe last year. When we first started, we were trash at the game. We probably still are, to be fair. We play with our Outlook team here at church, and they can attest to how bad we are at playing netball, but we love it. It's fun. We love meeting new people. We love the exercise it gives us, the social element. It's just a lot of fun to do on a Monday night. But man, that game ain't cheap. It costs $22 for us to play once a week. If we play twice a week, it's $44 a week for both of us to play, right? This ain't a cheap thing for us. It's an investment, though. We choose to do it. We don't have to do it. We want to, and so we make the investment. We want to do this thing. We want to spend time there. We want to spend money there, and so we invest. And so in a similar way, if you value the ministry here at Outlook, if you value helping people in Toowoomba and beyond become fully devoted followers of Jesus, there is another invitation for you this morning to consider how you might partner financially here at church. You know, in this passage in Matthew, Jesus is saying what you treasure, what you're passionate about, and what you value is what you will invest in. So the challenge for us, if you're passionate about sharing the gospel, if you're passionate about seeing kingdom come to earth and Toowoomba, if you're passionate about people, about seeing people come to follow Jesus, if you're passionate about seeing people baptized and whole families redeemed, if you're passionate about seeing leaders raised up and equipped for Christ's cause, if you're passionate about seeing young people and families grow up and continue in the faith, then invest. Invest here at Outlook. But if you're not passionate about those things, then like don't invest. This is a free will offering. And like I said, Pastor Nick, he's going to share later about where we feel like God is leading us to invest for initiatives into next year. But I believe that the antidote to complacency in our giving is realizing the blessing it is, the absolute blessing it is to be able to give generous free will offerings. And the fourth thing, the last thing we need to remember, is that our giving is remembering that it is a privilege to be able to lay up heavenly treasures for Christ's glory and the eternal good of others and myself. Jesus says in Matthew 6:19-20, "Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal." And in verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. If you'll hate one and love the other, you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money." You see, here Jesus is providing us a challenge. He's challenging us today to recognize that our earthly possessions are only temporary. And we should lay up heavenly treasures for his glory and for the good of others and ourselves. And how do we do that? How do we actually do that? Well, I think we fight complacency. We fight complacency in our giving and in our generosity. You know, we give generously with our finances to the cause of Christ and the church that many people may find hope and freedom in the name of Jesus. But what I love about Jesus' teaching here on money and possessions in Matthew 6 is how he finishes. He finishes the teaching moment in a really encouraging way. So reading from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34, Jesus says this: "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek first, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And so while Jesus, he starts his teaching here with a challenge about not storing up treasures on earth and rather storing up treasures in heaven, he finishes with an encouragement here. And like, I think it's such a beautiful way to finish. He encourages us to trust God to provide everything we need. And out of that trust, we are challenged to give generously and lay up heavenly treasures for Christ's glory and for the eternal good of others and ourselves. You see, at the end of the day, the heart issue that Jesus is prodding at here is one of trust. It's one of trust, and this is why it's a discipleship issue. Now, I believe Jesus is asking us today, do you trust God to look after you? As you seek first the kingdom of God, do you trust him to provide your earthly needs? As you lay up treasures in heaven, as you give generously to the life and ministry of the local church here at Outlook, do you trust that the Lord Jesus will look after you? You know, I believe reflecting on these questions and these four antidotes we've looked at this morning, I think they will propel us forward in our generosity and our financial partnership with one another. Amen. Pastor Nick, over to you. Let's welcome him up, church.
Thank you. Hey, I've been in a number of different rooms and contexts over giving Sunday type vibes. And I remember, you know, I've shared a little bit about kind of the context that we came out of and the big church environment. I remember the Sunday that we gathered where we were considering, well, we'd made a move on our whole building fund as a church, and we knew that we needed the finances to be able to take the next step and start that process. And I remember sitting in that room across multiple services on that Sunday, and on a single Sunday, we saw $10 million. Come in on a single giving Sunday. And the reality is that that's a beautiful testimony. We still had to borrow another 10 to make that building become a reality. And then I also got to sit in an auditorium multiple times a year as we talked on giving with $10 million of debt hanging over our heads. And just the reality of what that meant. I've heard stories of pastors who have received phone calls out of nowhere where somebody is offering them a building or a space for free, and they step in debt-free in an environment that they can gather in. Heard stories even last year of a pastor in the northern suburbs of Brisbane who are on their Giving Sunday in their context had their first Bitcoin cryptocurrency one-off giving come through. A sign of the times, I suppose, in some sense. I've seen churches celebrate on social media making their final mortgage repayment and stepping into a whole new financial reality as a community. And across all these different stories and all of these different contexts, there is a common denominator that we are better together when we're in partnership with one another. Whether it's we sit in a room with $10 million of debt, which is a real thing and has to be weighed up, and I'm sure there's multiple opinions and perspectives on that. Whether it's stepping into a space that was just given generously for free, whether it's been part of a denomination or a movement who have land banked and provide a church plant with a startup fund, if you will. Whatever the context, regardless of the story, regardless of the debt status, the common denominator is that we are truly, genuinely better together. And as we look across the New Testament, the reality is that giving was just assumed. It's almost offensive when you look at how much Jesus talked about money and how little we see it across the epistles. It was just assumed. We read Acts that nobody was without need because the church was so connected with one another in partnership. And so the heart, as Liam was bouncing his notes off me, I want to actually take a moment to honor him, because this time last year, Liam was a part-time pastoral intern in a church that was in transition, in a community where he was sitting with board members having to take budget lines to know that there would be a financial future and stability as a part-time pastoral intern, as a first-year Bible college student. And as the only staff member represented, got tasked with getting up and preaching to a community about giving and about generosity. And so as we were reflecting on coming into this Sunday, I feel like there's probably a case to be made that perhaps the senior pastor should preach on Giving Sunday. And I'll deal with that. But we've got a young leader here who stood here and rallied a community around faithful giving. And 12 months on, I just thought it was fitting that he did the same. As God's been faithful, that for his own development as a leader, but also I just think the beauty of what we've seen and experienced across the course of the last 12 months, that Liam would get to sit here and stand in the fruit to an extent of the way that people across this room faithfully have given. And that 37,000 over, that's year to date. There's more to come. There's more to come. That was as of September. And we know that the faithful giving has continued, and that we are in a position as a church community to dream about the future once again, and to dream about a board meeting this week as we look towards a budget for our upcoming AGM, where missions giving is being reinstated, where there's actually going to be excess surplus budget to put towards effective outreach at a local level, to actually be able to consider what it might look like to put Liam on extra days, to be able to consider what it looks like to up the ministry budget of Outlook Youth and of Outlook Kids, of regular ministry, because we're better together and because we're in partnership with one another, and we can achieve so much more when we get to faithfully give, not to me, not to Liam, not to a vision statement on a wall, but to our good and faithful God. To the same God who in Jesus said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail." And so we have an opportunity again this morning to look at some initiatives that we're going to lean into next year as a community. And so you see them on the slides. And rather than one big initiative that we're just going to pull all of the funds towards, we're going to split the one-off giving, whatever amount comes in, into three initiatives. And so apologies to the side of the room. I'm going to be looking on this slide. But we have a foundation. The first pillar of our vision here, Vision 26, is building a culture of discipleship. And I think we've seen that happen in a lot of ways over the course of this year, but we want to take that to the next step and advance in that space from a vision perspective, where we want to take some of the one-off giving funds and purchase group and church licenses for a handful of courses that are all discipleship focused. And I'm not a course guy. I don't think discipleship can be encapsulated in a course, but man, they're helpful. They're almost like these greenhouse environments where, whether it's 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it might be, we get into community with one another, we go through content that's been specifically prepared, and it results in accelerated growth as we follow Jesus together. And so we want to purchase group and church licenses that are a little bit more expensive, because it means that we will own the rights to be able to run those courses as often as we want to. And so that means we can provide those courses to Home Connects. We can provide those courses to people in the community that say, "I want to gather with a bunch of men in the church, and I want to run Forming Men with a group of guys that I'm doing life with." And we can go, "Here you go. Here's workbooks, here's videos, here's links to all the logins," and be able to run things like that. And so you'll see on there that we want to lean into a course for men, a course for women, a course for parenting, and so that we're seeing healthy men, healthy women, and healthy families across our church, that ultimately would result in a healthy community that is attractive to those who are searching for Jesus. And so courses are not the be-all and end-all and the answer, but they're going to be the beginning point of something for us as we seek to live out our vision. And the final one there is in that space of purchasing some partner resources for a course called Practicing the Way. And so we leaned into a little bit of this language earlier this year with our series on discipleship we called Dust. And Practicing the Way is actually a free course. And so all of the content, the videos, there's two stages to it. All of that's free and just readily available. But there's some really great partner resources that we want to be able to provide to people as we go through that. And from a future discipleship perspective, we really want to see Practicing the Way embedded as foundational to our discipleship culture here. Honestly, to the point that to serve in a ministry, it's going to look like going through that course and looking at what it looks like to follow Jesus, to become like him, and to lead others
to him. And so estimated cost of that is about $4,000. And that means as well, from some of those licenses, that we will be in a position, because we have rights to be able to run those courses, we're going to be able to lean into running courses for the community as well, and looking at what it looks like to see healthy men, healthy women, healthy families at some point too. And so that's initiative one. Initiative two, you'll see on the next slide, I've just kind of labeled it as the Futures Fund. And this is something that will probably more come up on a Vision Sunday type space. But as you'll see there, we have 4 young adults in our community this year who all feel a call to pastoral ministry. For a church our size, our average age is probably about 45 to 50. We trend young. We would have felt it on Young Adult Retreat that this whole section was pretty much empty. We have just around about a quarter of our total average attendance is young adults. And that's so healthy and so exciting. And in that young adult group, we have 4 young adults that all feel a call to pastoral ministry. We see that call, we recognize that call, and we want to support them in that space. And so we've started something really off the back of one-off giving of this Futures Fund, where we want to be able to lean into, in some capacity, gathering those 4 young adults. 2 of them are going to be at Bible college this year. 1 is also considering it. And what it looks like for us as a church community to learn a whole lot of lessons from Liam's pastoral internship, and actually lean into developing, not just future-proofing our community from a leadership perspective, but also thinking kingdom and thinking bigger picture of what it might look like that some of these young adults step out in faith to what God calls them to. And for whatever time they call Outlook home, and for whatever resources and capacity we have to develop them, that we would be able to send people to serve the body of Christ outside of our context and think bigger than ourselves. And so there's finances that we anticipate for that. Regulars of Outlook would hopefully be familiar with Project 11. That's a leadership development course. I think it's about 8 months that Queensland Baptist, the movement that we're part of, have pulled together. They provide all the resources for that. There's videos, there's podcasts, there's workbooks, and there's a leadership summit at the end of the year where all of the young adults from across Queensland who go through Project 11 gather for this leadership summit at the end of the year. There's prayer, there's ministry. There are leaders in the QB movement today who went through the first run of Project 11 that are on track to step into pastoral roles. And Liam will be able to speak to this better than me, and so if you want to pick his brain on it, just from his QB connection and working there, we have an uncomfortable number of vacant pastoral roles across our movement. Leadership development has skipped an entire generation in our movement, and we are genuinely 1 generation away from pastorless and leaderless churches and communities. And so we want to do something about it in our context to address that in some way that we can. And so we want to cover the Project 11 registration costs for a handful of those young adults. We want to see a leadership conference or ministry opportunity for this kind of cohort of interns to go through and cover the cost for that for them. While we can't financially support bringing on 4 interns from a salaried perspective for the ones that are at Bible College, we want to support them and say, hey, we see you. Let's purchase your textbooks for the subjects that you're going through and financially support you in that way. And then there's a couple of other things that we have on the cards of wanting to take them through some really formational leadership books and spiritual formation stuff as well. And so estimated costs around that are going to be about that $3,200 mark, which is exciting time for us as a church. You'll see some fresh faces up here from that group that'll be doing a little bit more from the front as well for their development. And then initiative 3, this is one of those ones where you are, as a community, we want to have the margin to be able to lean into things as God speaks. And we received a random email from this organization for the old Easterfest crew. It was a JC Epidemic back in the day. They are now rebranded as JC Action Sports, and you can Google them and find out a bit more information about them. But they have a truck with a half pipe on the back of it, and they have BMX bikes and scooters and motocross stuff that they do. But they're all Christians, they all love Jesus, and they use the action sports side of things to come in and run mental health programs in high schools. They share the gospel every time they gather. And they randomly reached out to us and said, hey, we're going to be in Toowoomba in February. And we, before we actually book in schools, we try and connect with the local church, because our whole vision is to see youth groups and the local church across the places that we go to thriving and healthy. And so we scrambled. Well, when I say we, it was really Liam. Liam scrambled and sent a bunch of feelers out to youth groups across Toowoomba. And as of today, we have 5 youth groups confirmed that want to be part of running a combined youth outreach. And I said to Liam, our minimum's 3. Said, if you can't get 3, I'm not interested. if you can get three, then we'll lean into it and we'll host and we'll put resource and time behind it. And we've obviously exceeded that number. And so to cast a little bit of vision for that, JC Action Sports are now going to reach out to high schools all across Toowoomba and see how many schools they can book in to run programs during the week. We're going to host at Centenary, pending weather, this combined youth outreach event with multiple youth ministries from across the city. And JC Action Sports will come in, they'll run their school's programs, and at the end of every program, they will be celebrating and highlighting the Friday night event and gathering space. And so I think the numbers we anticipate at this point is probably around 150 to 200 kids at this stage. And that's not counting any of the high school students coming from the programs. And so we want to put money behind this to say that there's going to be young people across our city. It's not about outlook. We're just hosting. This is about us having connections across the city, that if there's kids from a school in North Toowoomba, there's a youth group in North Toowoomba that they're going to get sent to if they make a decision. This is not about us. It's not about our brand or our image in the city. This is about the gospel. This is about young people across our city having the opportunity to hear the saving message of Jesus and make a decision to follow him with their whole lives. And so you can see on there that we want to cover some of the fees for the JC Action Sports guys. We need some promotion staff, provide some dinner and some food and whatever else. But we anticipate the costs around there are going to be about $3,000 to pull this off. And I'm excited. I am fully expectant coming in on the Sunday after this Friday that we will have celebration and cause for celebration as young people have said yes to following Jesus. And so those are all three of our initiatives that we're leaning into. And there'll be one more slide here. In reverse order, this is how we're going to prioritize them. And so the first priority for any one-off giving funds is going to be pulling off the combined youth outreach. That's our priority. That's what we want to see happen. Then we want to lean into the Futures Fund and leadership development for our internal community. And then the final one is whatever funds we potentially have left over. If we don't meet that total estimated cost, we'll weigh up which courses we lean into and how that shapes up. But if there's surplus funds, well, then we obviously have the opportunity to lean into potentially throwing some more money behind the youth outreach. There's maybe some extra courses in the background that we can spend some money on. But reality is, like I said, with the budget that's going to be coming, as we land on that and finalise that this week at our board meeting, we really want to see us as a community, our whole vision is geared towards ending in effectively reaching our communities. And we're in a new season as a church where, yes, we're going to focus on discipleship because that's where it starts. Yes, we want to focus on our strong foundations, which looks like leadership development and celebrating and building big people and leaders that can serve and whatever else. Yes, it looks like being a fully devoted family, but if we stop there and we don't get to effective outreach, then this whole thing's a waste of time. We've got a whole city that need this message, that need community that we're in every week. And that's what we're leaning into and that's what we're moving towards. And so these are the initiatives. There'll be a QR code that pops up. Historically, this is just a pledge. And so for all the regulars, there's only one question on this. There's normally a question or a pledge around there for regular giving. And I took that off this year because I think as we reflect on the faithfulness of God, I want to lean into Matthew 6. God's faithful. We don't need pledges for what regular giving is going to look like. We know that God is faithful, that he's moving in hearts, and that we have a budget that we know we can lean into and achieve because of the faithfulness of God. And so this form is simply one question, just around a pledge amount for all of these one-off initiatives. And then there'll be follow-up information in the newsletter around how to transfer those funds and whatever that looks like. But again, there is no obligation when it comes to our giving. I said to Liam, if there's one thing that my heart is for people walking out of the room this morning, for us as a community, it's that we recognize that it's an invitation and not an obligation to partner together. And that we have this opportunity to sit here at this time in 12 months and look back on these initiatives and celebrate young people saying yes to following Jesus. We have the opportunity to sit here because of our partnership to celebrate young adults that have been developed and going to be stepping into ministry for the sake of the church, future-proofing our community and being able to send them to serve and to serve God in the call that's on their lives. And we have the opportunity to reflect and look back on how God worked through courses, the growth that took place, the health that we will see across the lives of men, women, families, and kids across our community, and what it will look like for us to just embed a culture of discipleship. And so if you're willing, would you pray with me this morning as we reflect? God, we do. We just enter in just with a recognition of your faithfulness. That there is hope, there is excitement for the future in our community and in this environment. That you are indeed on the throne, that Jesus, you are indeed building your church, and that there is space for us to continue to partner together, to see your kingdom come into Woomba as it is in heaven, to partner with you and one another in your mission on earth. And so God, as we look towards what is to come, thank you already that for what it is that you desire to do, that you will provide. And so as we reflect on this morning, for our regular giving next year and for these initiatives that we have the opportunity to partner in, God, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for what it is that you're going to do for the remainder of this year through the Joy Initiative, through things like our Christmas Eve event. God, through the lives of us as we engage with our neighbors. And God, what it is that you would do through the financial partnership of those who call Outlook home. Continue, I pray, to give us faith for the future. Continue to give us the hope that we need, the joyful expectation of good for what is to come and for what it is that you're going to do. And God, we specifically, I know we're going to get the finances for this youth outreach, and so we pray for that even now. God, for the young people across this city, that you'd be working in their hearts now. That God, we would be overwhelmed in the best way possible by the way that you work and by the way that you minister. God, I'd even be bold enough to pray and ask this morning that there would be such a marked shift in the next generation of this city because of events like this. Statistic-changing events that see young people in droves coming to you and serving you with their whole lives. Prepare us as a community for what it is that you're calling us to and leading us to. God, thank you for the opportunity to partner with you and partner with one another. And thank you for the faithful giving represented across this room to you and to your kingdom and to your will and to your ways. God, we worship you, we celebrate you, we honor you, and we love you. Amen. So good. Well, thanks, team.